Vision Radio Show with your host, Lonnie Clark. We stand together and accept that we now live in a world transformed by Fukushima. Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time here on UCY.TV Radio. We relentlessly engage every ear that listens. We expose and confront complete lack of accountability for the nuclear industry. Consider social engineering programs who view our bodies, minds, and souls as assets on a balance sheet. We discuss vital current issues, interview activists, and engage our audience in an effort to allow all voices to be heard. The Age of Vision Radio Show creates a venue that all will choose. We encourage our listeners to reclaim their power and their courage to take action and save our planet from the ravages of greed and indifference. Our actions matter. Every voice matters. We remind our listeners that happiness is resistance. Love is greater than fear. Good morning, UCY.TV radio listeners. This is Lonnie Clark with the Age of Fission radio show, although you know it because you're listening to me already. It is 8 o'clock in the morning here on the West Coast. Today is April 19th, 2017. Thank you for joining us. We have a friend of our show back on, and actually, I haven't asked her for this before, but I hope she comes back on a lot more regularly. I'd like her to come on biweekly, not once a month like she's been doing. I think this is Heidi Lambert, and she was with us last week. And honestly, I love her voice on my radio show. And so I love the stuff that she says. I love her compassion. So, Heidi, thank you for coming to the show with us today.
Thank you, Lonnie, and thanks for doing this radio show. This is a fantastic way to get some information out.
Well, the thing is, you have a unique perspective because you grew up in Hanford. You didn't actually move away from there till 2000, right?
Yeah, 2011, so, actually. I moved
11?
Away in the 90s. I moved away in the 90s and moved back in 2003 and as an adult, and then lived there until 2011, yeah. And then I just had left in the fall of 2011. And that time was really interesting for me, Lonnie, because it was really interesting to go back as a protester and as an anti-nuker. Because I kind of developed that when I was away. I went to school at Evergreen State College, and there was a lot of anti-war movements and things against the Gulf happening at Evergreen. And I learned more about nuclear science at Evergreen than I ever did when I lived in the Eastern Washington area.
What was your degree in, if you don't mind me asking? What were you studying?
Well, I started to go to school because I wanted to be a naturopath go off to Bastyr. But then I was really lucky and got to travel abroad. And when I traveled abroad to the Middle East, I started to learn on how people didn't even have... Well, first off, I learned how what people believe affects their health. And I truly believe that. And then I started to see in the Middle East how people weren't even allowed to have opinions, especially women. And they couldn't even tell you how they felt.
Because what do you
they
mean?
Were never, well, they're not taught to worry about themselves. Their feelings don't matter. They don't have opinions. If you were to ask them, are you hungry? They would look at their husbands and say, am I hungry? And that's something I wasn't used to growing up in the States.
Oh, that was how I was raised, actually. That's exactly how I was raised. We had no opinions.
Yeah. Well, so that's anyways, to answer your question, I graduated in media production with an emphasis on animation because I believe that media helps inform us and shape our opinions. So that's why I do what I do.
What a little gem. I did not know that about you. Seriously. Okay, so now I have some ideas in mind of what I want you to do. Anyways.
Well, so So the
Let's
last
hope.
time I was here with you last
Yeah.
week, you had kind of caught me off guard because you said, Heidi, what are some actions that people can do?
And not only that, I
And
did it 10 minutes before the end of the show. So let's start with that.
right. Yeah, so when you said that, I just thought, oh my gosh, there were so many things I could have said, and so I'm so happy that you had me back. And also throughout the week, different friends who listened to the show came up and was talking to me about the different things that we talk about, and I started to really think about it, Lonnie. Like the people who listen to your show, it's kind of like talking to the choir because it's the people who really believe in what we believe in that are listening to your show.
True.
So I started to think, like this isn't really a space for me to tell people things they don't already know. A lot of people already know the atrocities of nuke science.
Exactly. The facts we already exactly.
Yeah, we get
But
it.
you know,
So,
your
and you've
stories are good to know because we didn't understand. You brought a lot of the understanding of the mentality. So that's where your
Right.
stories are strong. This is why you have a unique voice because you lived it.
Well, it is a for as many reactors and waste sites as there is in the US, it's interesting on what kind of culture is around them. And you would think that it wouldn't be a unique culture, but like the Tri-Cities and Richland Hanford area, there is a very unique culture there. And it's a culture of denial and a culture of abuse. And I notice it more coming away from there. I mean, my sister still lives there. And so sometimes I still go there to visit, and I definitely talk to her. But it is interesting on this like level of denial. Like, don't worry about it. It's all taken care of. Let the professionals do their job. And then just live the struggle of life. They're too busy paying bills and getting to the doctor to really worry about it,
Getting sick is just normal part of life. So you get cancer from living near Hanford, you'd get cancer from living near something else, in other words.
Yeah. And everyone just doesn't, look. I mean, that's a conversation I had just this morning, actually, because I live on the ocean. So I know a lot of people who surf, and this one woman posted a thing about Fukushima in our ocean, and all of these surfers were like, "Oh, that's fear mongering. Those are just lies. That's a hoax." And I had to post on there and be like, "Well, how many starfish have to go extinct? How many seals have to die of
You know what you
starvation?"
have to do if you have exposure to surfers? Ask them to look at the oncology rates of surfers. There's a clear pattern. The Cancer
Yeah.
Society keeps track of this. Clear pattern of young athletes along the coast have an increase of female problems, an increase in cancer. I mean, it's there. It's being handled, and everybody's ashamed of their cancer. Nobody talks about it because you
Well,
feel
that's
like it's
true.
your fault you got it.
Yeah, that's definitely what they want you to feel like it's your fault. And there's
So
no
let's
one to
talk about
blame
some
but your own
actions. We only have an hour, and I want to make sure we get to the two actions you brought to my mind right before. And so you can get me going on this for quite a while, but I'd rather have people show up at these events that are about to happen or going to happen in the next, shortly, and then in the next couple months.
Yeah, so the first one I want to talk about is the March for Science, and that's happening this Saturday. And this March for Science, I think, is going to be really big. And I just want to tell you, I have kind of feelings about it because I want to march for science because I believe that the U.S. needs like a reformed EPA or some sort of environmental protection group. That's scouting out against
No,
these corporations.
we need corporations out of science. We need to stop subsidizing corporations to sponsor the science. Our government needs to sponsor the science directly, hire the scientists themselves. That's what needs to happen.
It's just a mess, Lonnie. It's such a mess because this is the other thing I have from growing up at Tri-Cities, is that we had the EPA. It was like two people. It was like a two-person office, and the numbers were given to them by Hanford.
Right. That's what I'm
And so
saying.
the EPA
Industry, exactly. Industry runs science. And that's
just.
the what that we need. I actually made up a sign on Fukushima Day when I went out. I call it Fukushima Day.
Yeah, pretty
Because I don't
well.
want to call it the commemoration or a celebration, anniversaries. It's a hideous, it's an event that is ongoing, and that's the day it marked the change of at least I believe everybody's consciousness from here on out, Fukushima has changed the world. If we want to admit it or not, it is the biggest catastrophe we have ever seen and is ignoring.
Yeah, and it's continually being ignored.
Like those surfers. That's fear-mongering, man. I told you, I lost my friend. You know, because she said, look, I can't talk about it. If that's all you're going to, it always comes down to that. I can't help but talk about it. It's in our fish. I can't eat fish anymore.
Right. It's in our rice. It's in our seaweed. It's in our dairy. It's in our
Helen Caldicott said in Japan, they are mixing good rice with bad rice.
Yeah. Oh, sure. And I'm sure they do that with the milk here. I mean, all the Dairy Gold milk in the Northwest that we give to school-age kids is milk that comes from cows that are grazing on the edges of Hanford. The idea of feeding people radioactive food is an old, old idea. You know, I mean, we tell people we radiate food to keep it fresher.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And so we're talking about that in my environmental science class. But let's talk about this action, the March for Science, because I think, like, there's going to be one here in Eugene, one in Salem, one in Portland. They're going to be around the country.
It will be a very easy way to protest, especially if you've never protested before, or if you're older, or if you have children and you want a kind of a safer environment to go and protest. This is a great one. This is a great protest. For one, it's in every town. I live in a little
town.
And
it's on Earth Day. It's on Earth Day. It's
Earth Day.
Like,
it's
for
not as
real.
Controversial as the Women's March, because we're not talking gender or sex. We're talking science, you know? It's still controversial, but it should be, I think it's going to go over pretty smooth, and I think people are going to enjoy them. It's going to be an enjoyable protest, if there's such a thing.
This is what we need. We need a restructuring of these oversight committees. We need a restructuring of integrity and honesty in this country. Really, that's seriously what is needed. Because this is why I can't help but talk about all the other politics of it. Because talking about nuclear is talking about the military. And the military runs our government's budget. That's why we give it most of it. That's why we hear about crimes that no one ever talks about anymore, because it's military doing it and we're not going to talk about it. This is why, like this thing with Trump, they don't want to talk about the fact that all his advisors were talking to Russia. Yes, indeed, they did think they were going to get a sweet deal. And now Russia's given them the finger. You know what I mean? It all goes back to all of the corruption and the lies of who we're going to look at and who we're not going to look at. And we only prosecute the poor people. This is where Black Lives Matter. Because Black Lives Matter engenders everybody. I mean, honestly, it is Black Lives. At the bottom of the rung is the poorest Black person. I mean, seriously, of who gets abused the worst, that's where it goes first. And this is where it matters. This is why they've dumped all the chemicals on the, you know, Black neighborhoods. I mean, it has really been intentional. I do not think it's an oversight.
Well, it's just like poisoning drinking water in the Midwest, not having healthy water to drink.
Yeah.
You know, or like, look at Katrina.
I was stunned that Obama did not make that a national emergency and get the pipes fixed in every, like, we just have this laissez-faire. Oh, yeah, our bridges are falling apart. That's too bad. Lowell Brit Dam up here got a D rating, and so they shut it down and closed it, but that did not fix it. A D rating.
Oh, the dam up from Hanford has a 70-foot crack in it. And if that crack was to...
Did they not fix it? Didn't they fix it?
They're working on fixing it, but the integrity of that dam has been... You know,
straight
you take one nice little earthquake and that thing's going to go. It continues the denial. It's just that denial. The bridges are fine. The roads are fine.
But you know why?
This
gets back to one
thing.
It gets back to the subcontracting of our government. That's what it gets back to.
And the lack of integrity, because all they want is the money. So everybody, that's where the nuclear cleanup, this whole March for Science has made me realize that anything nuclear in our country is not losing funding right now. Nuclear science is not losing funding. This is not a march for nuclear science. But when you look at organizations like 350.org, who say they're a green organization and they say that they're against coal, but they propose the SMR, the small modular reactors.
They love it. They love it.
Yeah, they love it. That's their answer to this, to our dilemmas, you know. And
they
and
are
fearful.
Well, you know what it is they are separating. In fact, I poked these guys. I went to two symposiums yesterday. This is why it's important for people who understand that nuclear is equal, not less than, maybe not greater than coal, than the, I actually believe that the nuclear pollution, which has never been discussed in climate science in terms of, we have dumped, and it's very difficult to study. Why is it difficult to study? Because they're not studying it. That's why. It's not that difficult. They can do it. They don't do it. And the reason they fundamentally don't do it is they can't tell if the plutonium comes from World War II or if it comes from now, because there just has not been enough time to be, but they can't really tell. And if you have a little bit, you might as well have a lot. So who cares? You know what I mean?
Well, there's that whole argument of how much is too much and what level is what, and then they
there is no safe level. And the problem is, it's yes, if we only got one safe level, no problem. And the sun and all the other contaminants, or we got two or three, we're not doing that. We are getting it continually, nonstop. We have 15,000 abandoned uranium mines in this country, going leaching into our water. 15,000. That's going into the oceans. We think that our oceans could sustain 100 years of blasting it with nuclear pollution. I mean, I'm sorry, but the coal people, the people that want to shut down the coal plants, that want to shut down fossil fuel, need to understand that nuclear, A, sucks up a lot of fossil fuel. Without anybody talking about it, it needs a lot of fossil fuel in the aftermath. The buildup, not so much. They take 10, 15 years to build a plant. But look how much the cost overrun. That story came out this morning. One project is on an overrun of like $17 million.
Oh, yeah.
And that's just one project that was supposed to cost $11 million. And they're not telling them how that extra money got spent. Sorry, we don't have to tell you. We're a private corporation.
Well, they don't tell you either that you're paying for it.
Yes.
But that's
yes.
What I don't think people understand is that all of these projects are funded by taxpayers' money.
Yes.
And so, and then through the electric companies, through subsidies. So really, these are like ghost projects. Money that's coming out of nowhere is going in to funnel in to clean up. They call it a cleanup, which is just not even cleanup.
It's
it gives
impossible.
You this image.
Exactly.
Yeah, it gives you this great image of someone who spilled their milk and everybody's out there with their little towels cleaning it up, you know. What they don't explain is that it's a that it's, you know, atomic, that it's tiny and that it blows in the wind and it goes to the water and it's attracted to water. It's a salt. So you throw it into the ocean, it comes out like a salt. You think it's sea salt. You don't realize it's an atomic sea salt. That's the thing that's so scary about nukes. But again, I think everyone here who's listening knows all this, right? So let's go back to the march.
I don't think they do know that. I mean, honestly, I didn't understand it is attracted to salt. So no,
it is
I don't,
a salt.
Nuclear I did not waste. Know that. There's a lot of science that I don't understand about nuclear. This is why I can't like rattle all this stuff off. I understand what it means to the body. I can read that and understand that.
Right, but our
and
bodies
it is extremely
like
harmful.
Salt,
yes,
you know, as a mineral,
oh.
Our bodies find it as a mineral, and waste is like a mineral. One time I tried to get a job at Hanford, believe it or not, and my job was to work robotic cameras, and the robotic cameras were to go up to the tanks and go into the tanks and show you pictures because. I know I tell you this pretty often, but a lot of people don't understand that Hanford has 56 million gallons of nuclear waste, and not 2 gallons of waste are the same. So one of the problems that they're having at Hanford with their 50-plus, or I think maybe it's 177 tanks, is that each tank, they don't know exactly the consistency of waste. It's not one kind of waste. It's all, it's just this like, potpourri. It's like a shake filled with jelly beans and JoJo's and funky thickness and air bubbles. So they don't know. They can't. That's why it's so hard to quote unquote clean this up, because they really don't know what they're up against, and they don't really know where to put it. There's no place to put it. So anyways, back to my camera story. So we have this little robotic lawnmower with a camera on it that goes out, you know, in the desert and takes pictures, and then it has this little arm and it reaches over into the tank and it takes a pictures of inside the tank. And I was just so surprised to see that it looked like crystals in salt. It was solidified and crusty on the top, like salt, just like if you were to take a 2 liter and fill it full of ocean water and you set it out there, you know, the water evaporates out and the salt goes and ends up in the bottom. And that's exactly what these tanks look like, Lonnie. They were full. They were like salt shakers, gigantic salt shakers of radioactive waste.
Wow. So can people? You're saying that people can't go near them? That we have to have robotics go out there?
Yeah.
Really?
Oh yeah.
I did not know that. I thought there were people that worked on the tanks. Like, I've seen pictures where. So this is me. This is why I love talking to you, because I am honest enough about being a typical American. I've seen these. You know, the NRC puts out these videos with the workers at Hanford, and they're like standing next to these tanks and checking things in this big tunnel-like thing.
Yeah, that was probably like a tank they emptied, and they're going back to check it to see how it looks now. You know what I mean? Like, you have to remember that everything we see is propaganda.
Yeah.
And the whole propaganda is telling us how safe it is. And the number one industry that has shorted employees is the nuke industry. Because, one, not very many people want to do it. Two, the ones that do it don't live very long. And three, that means more people don't want to do it. I mean, that's where robotics are coming from. That's why they're pushing robotics so much in high school. They need the kids to figure out how to do this, because the problem is so great and it's such a new problem that it's only going to be a new mind who's going to be able to fix this problem, or at least learn how to live with it.
Well, you know what? I'm willing to, like, dump a lot of money into that industry. I think that's what we need to do. We need to be honest. It's ridiculous to demonize the nuclear industry. We need to shift their focus. We need to stop making it, and we need to start being honest about the real damage it's causing, and let's get down to what's the truth. How do we really fix this? Instead of just, here, we'll just suck all your money out of it because we know you're all going to die anyway, so screw you. That's their attitude. That's essentially what they're telling us.
Yeah, especially
with the plutonium
when they're dropping bombs on other countries. And they're, you know, right now, I got into a huge funk over this mother of all bombs being dropped.
Yeah.
I was really pissed they called it a mother of all bombs. That really pissed me off.
Me too. Demonizing women once again.
Yeah, exactly. And then the other was like, what business do we have dropping these bombs? And people
can't. Well, not only that, I think it also prepared the world for a nuclear bomb.
Right, I agree.
I totally agree. Minimizing. It's like they don't even tell us they're dropping depleted uranium all over the place. But when you see the bombs going off, that's why we don't see pictures of the, quote, war in the Middle East on our television screens very often.
Right,
we see bombs being blown up because of, quote, terrorists. But the real terror, the real war, the real thing that they're doing, they're not going to, you know, we're on a need-to-know basis. We don't need to know.
Well, Lonnie, I don't know if you saw, but the BBC did an interview of Assad, and he claimed that they have no chemical weapons and have never used chemical weapons. And he said that all of the pictures the U.S. showed of the chemical weapons being dropped on children were from the U.S. dropping them on them. It was a very powerful interview of him saying that he is being, attacked by that the U.S. is the terrorist against him. And it's just, you know, the world is so upside down, and there's really no way to believe anybody at this point. Our facts are so disturbed.
Well, the hard part is we have a president who has straight up lied about things and says anything. Things come out of his mouth. Like, he said, oh, that mother of all bombs. Oh, well, we had to attack Afghanistan. I mean, Syria. Like, really, get it straight who you're attacking, bud. It was that, to me, was a huge, that told me a million things about him.
But then didn't he go and drop a bomb on Afghanistan? Like, they did Afghanistan, didn't they? Or was it on...
That's part of what he told on himself. He's so freaking confused. He has no idea who's doing what. They're like, he's like, yeah, go do it. Yeah. That's why he said last week on the television interview, I just basically told my generals, if you think it's important, just come to me on the really big stuff. Like, okay, you can't drop a nuclear bomb without my permission. I think
Well,
that
but
he
really, they should be more than just a president. I mean, that's why we have a Congress. That's why we have a Senate. Is there's a checks and balance that's supposed to be happening, and we've lost the checks and balances. I mean, that's like the
That's called the
EPA.
Unpatriot Act. That's why.
Yeah, well, and then we have the NRC. You know, the NRC is the Nuclear Regulations Commission. Those people are supposed to be the checks and balances. They are like the EPA of nukes. And
Well, they are
they're
the EPA of nukes. This is why he put in Rick Perry at the head of the DOE. This is why
Yeah.
he put in what Pruitt, I think that's his name, at the EPA, because they plan on doing it in. They don't want to have it around. And I think I really have come to this conclusion that they think the pollution is just so bad. Like, who cares? We're just going to do whatever we want, man.
Yeah, they
Because you're
do.
all going to die anyways.
So this is this other another action I wanted to bring up was that it so NRC. So there is a so on Facebook there's a group called No Nukes Northwest, and in that group there is a woman, Erica Gray. She's amazing, and Erica, she follows the NRC on a daily, and she posts different not testimonies but trials, investigations that the NRC is doing. So one of them is on May 2nd. And the NRC is going to investigate the CGS, the Columbia Generating Station. It's the nuclear reactor on the Hanford Waste site. And what's so interesting is that that reactor gets spent waste, and they put it in a container, and they drive it through the gate into another gate for it to be disposed of at Hanford. And apparently, someone put it in the wrong box. So they put higher leveled weight. So I'm imagining them like putting it in a Ziploc, you know, instead of a shoebox or something, you know. And so this is why they're having this whole meeting. But what I found really interesting was that it's open to the public in Arlington, Texas. So I don't know if anyone else finds irony in that they're sitting and investigating CGS in Texas, but that's what's happening. But because it's open to the public, they did give us a phone number, so I'd like to share it
Great.
with
I hope
everyone.
Jose is listening out there. I know that there's one person in Texas. I don't know how close he is to Arlington, but.
Well, anyone can call in. So anyone from anywhere can call in on May 2nd at 1 p.m., and the phone number is 888-809-8968.
Say
And
that
then you go
again. Say that.
888, so 888. 809-8968, and then they have a code that gives you permission to get in on the conversation, and the code is 833-0824. And again, if you don't have, if you didn't hear what I said, you can go onto Facebook to No Nukes Northwest, and there's also another site called Shutdown CGS. And
Okay.
both of those pages,
But
Erica posts
those are
on.
Facebook pages, but are you is this posted on No Nukes Northwest
Not yet,
on
but
the
we can. We
website?
should. Yeah, it's not on the website yet, but it. But so the easier way would be through the Facebook.
Well, why don't you, as an aside, send me an email with that information and I'll add it to your page. I know how to do that.
Okay. Yeah, that would be great.
Okay.
And then, so yeah, so that's an example. The NRC is an example of where people really need to put heat on them, because they really work for the industry, not the people. But they're supposed to be working for the people, not the industry. And so the more that we call in, and the more we show up, and the
Now,
more we
when we call in, is this like a place where you can participate or you just listen?
Yeah, no, you're participating. They're asking you for you to give your opinion about CGS putting the wrong waste in the wrong disposal and then taking it out of the site. I mean, that's what essentially the NRC are the people who fine the nukes for not keeping up to regulations. So, like last summer, CGS has this air monitor, and it's supposed to monitor how much radioactive particles are in the steam that's leaving the reactor. Well, that monitor had gone unplugged. So NRC had a report that this monitor had been unplugged for an unknown amount of time. So the monitor was saying everything was fine and levels were fine, but it was because it wasn't even plugged in.
Oh my gosh.
And so there's lots of incidents like this through NRC. And so that it's a great place to kind of start to kind of see the atrocities. The NRC.
Yes, but you know, this is the thing with the NRC that I understand. Their hands are tied by regulation. They mm-hmm. cannot actually do anything more than what they do than mete out fines. Like they can't, unless it's super egregious, they cannot just shut the place down, which would be reasonable. You know what I mean? But the
they will shut it down temporarily, Lonnie. So the NRC has shut down CGS to meet compliances. Like the exact same reactor in Hanford is exact same as Fukushima's.
Wow.
And so when Fukushima happened, Hanford was like, oh, our GE Mark III, you know, reactor, blah, 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 is perfectly safe and, you know, updated, and that would never happen here. Well, then all of these professors at the University of Washington started proving that there actually was lots of fault lines, upwards of 14 major fault lines underneath Hanford. And then that's when they did their research on the Wanapon Dam, and they were like, look, we have one earthquake, this dam goes out, and your reactor is going to be flooded just like the one in the tsunami. And so they closed them for about 9 months, making them put in some switch. I can't remember what all it did. It was something that let it cool if it started to overheat. It was some, you know, it's still not going to save it, but it was preventative. And so that is something to be hopeful about in the NRC. Like, they do go around, and they do try to keep things, you know. Like, ultimately, when they closed San Onofre, that was the NRC who said the infrastructure of this site is too dangerous to continue. So they do shut things down.
That's true, and it was a huge shock that they did that, actually. I mean, but right, you know what? It was the evidence was – that's what I'm saying. It has to be so egregious. But so right. What you're saying is that if people call up – so this is May 2nd. What time is this thing at, this event?
1 p.m. But it's now, again, it says 1 p.m., but it's in Texas, so it must be 1 p.m. Texas.
Well, we should check that. We should check that.
See, this is how they make it difficult. They don't make it easy for people to follow the NRC. Uh-huh. If they made it easy, this meeting would be in either Portland or in Tri-Cities, like in all rights, this meeting. But see, I think they don't do it in Tri-Cities because they're afraid that it will get altered because of people.
Well, don't you think that's interesting that Rick Perry is now the head of the DOE and we have this NRC meeting in Texas?
Yeah, and maybe it was because he could only be there or whatever. You know what I mean?
No.
I'm sure he doesn't participate in these NRC meetings. I'm sure they report to him.
You know what they're doing is they're giving these people a free vacation to Texas. I wonder, well, it's going to be in Arlington, Texas. They've probably got free vacations to go to Mexico from there.
Yeah, who knows, man?
I'm such
who
a knows? Cynic. Okay, but so that's May 2nd. That's May 2nd. That's a Monday.
But again, I just encourage people to just go to the NRC website, go to these Facebook pages. I mean, follow the NRC and put some heat on them because when they say that a meeting is open to the public, then it's up to us to keep it open to the public and show them that we're there and that we're going to utilize it. Okay, so the other action that I wanted to talk about is something I'm really excited about, and it's called Meet the Fleet. And Meet the Fleet happens every year. It's a military event. It's where all of the war boats go into Portland and port for the week, and they invite families to come and see these war boats and tour the warships.
Wow, that's going to be huge this year.
It's a glorification. It is a huge glorification of war. And every year before, they have not been very widely accepted. There's always some, but there has been more of an anti-war movement there. This year, the Vets for Peace and several churches have asked people to come and join them in meeting the fleet. And they ask you to bring your kayaks. And it's going to be June 7th, 8th, and 9th. It's a weekend. And people are opening up their houses for people. There's a lot of mobilization happening right now of people planning to be there that week. And again, they're asking people to bring kayaks, because then what happens is the kayaks, because they're smaller and they're man-powered, they have more of a right-of-way than these warships. So to actually, the warships do have to slow down or stop so that the kayaks can go wherever they're going. If you look at footage of last year, there's probably 2,000 kayaks on the water.
So if you could get like 4,000, 5,000 kayakers on the water, probably the warships couldn't enter. Is that the idea?
Yeah, they can't enter, they can't leave, and the people who come to glorify them will see that other people aren't happy about it.
Is that free land? I mean, could the police, could the military just tell them to step aside? They have to step aside.
Oh, I'm sure that the military, well, the police are always present. But no, it's public water, and you have a right of way. Your right of way is more than any, because you're in a little kayak, so you have the right of way. For people who can't come, I'm asking folks to go to nonukesnorthwest.org and donate, because No Nukes is in the process right now of purchasing our own fleet, and we want to have our own fleet meet the fleet.
Kayaks.
Yeah, we want a kayak fleet.
And kayaks are what? $300-$500 each.
Yeah, $300.
Or if anybody has a kayak in Portland and then you want to donate it, send them a message. I mean, there might be somebody out there that has a kayak that lives pretty close to Portland and, you know, wow, maybe I just don't need this anymore, and just give it to them because they could use it.
Yeah, that would be fantastic. Of course, our first option would be for you to come yourself in your kayak, but if you can't get it off work or you can't go, then if you
or what about borrowing kayaks? I mean, how about if you guys just had people borrow kayaks, set up something through No Nukes Northwest where you get people up there who have kayaks, will just lend them to you for the day or something? Do people do that?
That would be great. I'm sure we'll do that. We could figure out something to release liabilities and kosher, and so everyone can feel good about it.
Yeah, you're a nonprofit person. You understand all that.
Yeah, and we just and again, and if you can't go, if you want to just donate the money towards it, I mean, that's great too. I mean, they have a Meet the Fleet week in August in Seattle, so we'll definitely be going there. And then we would love to take our kayaks in the Columbia River and do some actions during boat races. I don't know if you know, in Tri-Cities they have a very popular, I think it's the third week in July, they have boat races where they have everybody go and play in the river, downriver from Hanford.
In the Columbia River?
Yes. Oh, yes. A huge event where thousands of people show up and go and sit in the river all day. Yeah. Yeah, the Columbia River boat races. So we would like to take a kayak fleet to that and protest. So those events will be going on
this
summer.
At least let them know that they're being exposed to radioactive contamination, you mean?
Yeah. Yeah. Just so ignorant. The people are so, just again, back into that denial. It's just so comfortable to just say, everything's safe. If it wasn't safe, they wouldn't let us do this. But really, they're letting you do it so you feel safe.
Exactly, Heidi. Exactly. They're letting you do it so you feel safe. It's not that you are safe. That's why they let the surfers, that's why they have surfing in Fukushima, to normalize it. They're bringing surfing to Fukushima to normalize radioactive contamination worldwide. It's the Olympics. It's not an accident. This is not an accident. Toshiba, Libby Halevy reported this. I keep repeating it on this show because I'm just dumbfounded. Toshiba is building stadiums for the ceremonies in Fukushima out of reclaimed wood.
Right.
Not only are they exposing people to the contamination by having the sports events there, but they're going to have them sit on material directly closer. They will be directly, intentionally closer to the radiation,
but
to the radioactive contaminants.
The solution to pollution is dilution. So the more people who get cancer from all over the world, they're not going to be able to trace where they got it or how they got it or when they got it. And meanwhile, they have cheap stadium wood.
And yet here we have 350.org, you know, and organizations like that, and our NDRC helping Illinois keep open two leaking nuclear facilities.
Right.
They actively engaged with the legislature to keep those facilities open, to lobbied to them to fund them to the tune of several hundred million dollars a year to the taxpayer so that they could get on with their project of closing down coal.
You know, I have a friend, Christina Consuelo. I'm sure you know her, the rad chick.
Yes.
She does really amazing videos. I love her
videos. We know her well on this. She started here, I think.
She's amazing.
I love her.
So she's so entertaining.
Everybody loves her.
Yeah, it's hard not to love her. And she delivers like the worst news, you know. But anyway, she did this really great video about metals and how when metals are...
The Wigner effect. That's called the Wigner effect. The Wigner
effect. Yes. And
that was Dr. Lorraine Murray, who has been, she did all this whole series. And if anybody has not heard it, go to Radchick's YouTube, channel and listen to Lorraine Murray's. They did a series, I think 6 or 7 of them on this Wigner effect. It's so compelling. It's amazing.
It was so compelling, Lonnie, because all I could think of was how they're trying to store the waste in metal containers.
Yes.
And there's
why everything's breaking
about
down.
The integrity breaking down. Yeah, and it's just like, here if they would just under, you know. So of course, if you stick radioactive waste next to a metal, it's going to change the structure, the atomic structure of that metal. I thought that was so interesting, and then the whole facts of people falling out of the sky in airplanes and boats sinking and cars.
Yes,
I mean that was really interesting too, but. Just the whole idea of how
the whole denial of science. This is what I mean. Science, we have the science. We need to let science go. We have the capacity to implement solutions to help our Mother Earth and our Father Sky return to what it needs to be, to who we really are. This whole false dichotomy of mankind has the right to change Mother Earth and the nature is a false dichotomy. It's false. And I think we have an obligation as Americans. I feel very strongly about freeing science from corporations. And that's why this action this Saturday is important. Everybody needs to show up at a science protest somewhere near you and say, "What the EPA does need to be shut down the way it currently is. They've done nothing for the people. Same with the NRC, but it's not. We've attempted to reorganize them or restructure them. It gets down to one thing. We subsidize subcontractors with a self-interest so that Hanford can hand the NRC information instead of the NRC having the staff to go in and audit Hanford."
Right, right. You're right. You're actually, but totally. And with this restructure, it should be these departments need to be enlarged, not disappear. And that's the thing that I think people need to voice the most at these marches is that, that nuclear science isn't a green science. It's not a solution. And that the money that's going to nuclear science really needs about how to clean up the waste, not how to keep making it.
Right. Right.
And then as of the other sciences, solar and wind, I mean, those all need to be pursued as well. And that's what should be subsidized. The true green powers are the ones that should be subsidized. But when you talk about taking the industry out of these guard agencies or whatever you want to call these checks and balances of agencies, I mean, I have to tell you, Lonnie, I'm afraid of the government being in charge of it. You know, it's kind of like asking the police.
Yes,
to
but no, you know why?
Audit
again,
their own police situation.
It gets down to bureaucratic authoritarianism. This is basic, really political science, really. If we lean on our democracy only works if we do. If we don't, we end up with what we have now, bureaucratic authoritarianism, with very few people running the show because there's not enough people actively engaged. We have a system of checks and balances that, look, it's a matter of cultural. In Europe, they put public risk and public safety above profit. The United States does not. It's simple. This is not, it's not a secret. It's a matter of what are your cultural values? This is why they've banned GMOs in Europe. And yet they've gone full in on the nuclear lies. Why is that? Because of the IAEA runs everything regarding nuclear. And it comes right out of the UN in every government around the world. Their safety culture model has never been tested. And when it did get tested in 2013, it failed in all, there were eight aspects, seven of them 100% fail, one of them only worked 50%. And that
You're talking about
one,
in Europe? This is in Europe?
no, this, well, the IAEA safety culture model that they use on every nuclear facility, it is used worldwide.
Okay.
In
And failing.
2013, well, it has never been tested. This is why it fails. This is why we have these catastrophes, because they have a safety culture model that is just based on hyperbole and lies. And,
Right.
you know, they have no concept of what they're doing. There is no safety culture because
Right,
it's run by corporations.
but they do have incidents like 3 Mile Island and Chernobyl and Fukushima and Hanford, even though Hanford wasn't an accident, it was just a really
And St.
bad
Louis.
idea. In St. Louis, I mean, they have lots of examples of it going bad, but none of those examples do I hear any of these agencies taking seriously. So
Or
that's the
taking
other thing, is that
through.
no one's admitting a fault and no one's admitting that there's a problem, and so we're not even learning from it.
Yeah, but that gets down to what's called, quote, American exceptionalism. We have to be perfect, so we cannot. I mean, inside that whole hypermasculinity, that whole hyperbole thing is you have to be perfect, which means it's extreme insecurity, which is what we have reflected in our presidency right now. Extreme insecurity. That's why he tells the generals, go do whatever you want. And we have Mad Dog Mattis, who caused the children of Fallujah to be being born like little beanie babies. Our soldiers were committing suicide in high numbers that came back from there because of him.
Oh,
And
yeah.
he's running our military. It's extreme. To be honest, this is why when we talk about nuclear, for me, I think it goes really to the heart of where our polit a lot of our agencies have gone wrong. Why the EPA can't really help us? Why we don't
Right.
have Why don't we, why don't, why can't we have a subset of our government out there replacing the plumbing on a regular basis, helping us keep our water standards higher, developing science that can manage the pollution that big business is actually putting into it?
Right, well, create
Instead of
jobs
dumping
that could
all of our
employ
money, instead
people.
of, we should not be dumping all of our money. This is why prosperity matters in peace. Because you either
Right.
have a war economy or you have a peace economy based on helping the government. It's a more, yes, granted, it's called, quote, socialism, which is considered an evil devil, but it's not. I mean, capitalism is the entity that has been destroying the quality of life on this planet. Let's just be very clear.
Capitalism, or did you say communism? Because I'm against capitalism.
Capitalism. Capitalism. I don't know, you know, I don't, I think communism, people think that communism and socialism are the same thing, but they're very, very, very different.
They are.
We can have a socialist democracy where we take care of things, we allow people to have their own business, people can thrive and do their own thing, they contribute to the culture, and we have a huge set of business creating solutions. I mean, look at Denmark. They put freaking levies on their entire country, right?
Right.
They're keeping
Well,
the oceans off of them with their ingenuity, and that develops jobs
right. Well,
and
so I wanted
educates.
to offer another job for people too, and that is to follow. I don't know if Lonnie, if you know about like when Grateful Dead was performing, how people would follow and tour with Grateful Dead. And towards the end of Grateful Dead's tours, they would bring millions of dollars to wherever they were in revenue of people buying food and clothes and gas and whatever they were getting as they continued to keep going. Mm-hmm. And I see, you know, we had all these people at Standing Rock, and we had such an amazing presence at Standing Rock. And if we could just mobilize all of these people and start a tour of protests, you know, where we go from the Meet the Fleet and we go up to Seattle and meet the fleet there and then travel, you know, people planning camping trips right now, and they're going, spending hundreds of dollars a ticket to go to shows and see concerts. And if we could take our efforts and instead use that energy to protest and create a circuit. Like you were talking earlier today about how you're searching protests right now. You're looking for places to go because you're so upset. And that's
I want like-minded people who want to have social justice, because what's happening now is the inequity we are falling into for real. A real bureaucratic authoritarianism regime right now, and it is happening before our eyes. And when people do not understand that hyper allowing the police officers to kill with impunity, they can murder an 11 or 12 year old child within 8 seconds. That little boy was gunned down. We all saw the tapes. That cop did not go to jail, or
it's
even
not the first time, Lonnie. It's like
It was the only one caught on tape.
Or one of them. One of them got on tape. There's so many.
And not only that, but check this out. Ferguson is downwind of Westlake Landfill. The majority of the people affected by nuclear pollution as a whole are people of color. 100%.
Oh, yeah. 100%. Pasco is downriver, downriver is Pasco in the Tri-Cities, and that is a town where all of the people, it's Hispanic. It's mostly all Hispanic, and they're all immigrating here, and none of them know that Hanford even exists. None of them even know. They go there because they know there's jobs and there's a like-minded community, and that's where they go. And then all of a sudden they get cancer, and they don't know. Or they go home back to Mexico, and then they get sick, and they don't even know. You know, so it's definitely about people of color, but it's no one is safe from it, Lonnie, and you know that, and I know that, and that's why I'm trying to encourage everyone, like, get your backpacks, get your tent, get your sleeping bag this summer, and go out there and protest, and I don't care if you're sleeping at City Hall. Go sleep in City Hall and tell them you want clean air and clean water. It's going to be beautiful weather this summer. It's a perfect time to say we don't want to bomb people. We don't want to keep making bombs. We don't want to have this kind of life. And the only way we're going to stop it is to be in their faces. And the best way to do it is to get your friends, enjoy yourself, sing, eat some good food, and just be really present and stay really present. And that's my goal for the summer, Lonnie. That's why I'm sharing with you, like, this is the stuff I'm going to. These are the things on my calendar so far. And next week when we talk, I'll bring more things, and let's start filling everybody's calendars up with things to do and places to go to be a nuisance. It's time we become nuisances. We all know the facts. We know what's going on, and we feel like we can't do anything about it. And so we can. We have to start being vocal and upset, still nonviolent, but we need to be present and say, hey.
It's true, we need to demand solutions, like real answers. Like, we don't need the EPA to go away. We need them to stop protecting the polluters. We need real oversight. We need more people that are qualified to be hired. And to actually, we need to have we need to have a process where corporations can submit their information, but we have our own internal auditors who go in and look with unencumbered, just come in like the IRS comes in and audits your books. That's what we need in these organizations, to audit their science, to see what they're really doing, because they can hand us all kinds of ideas.
And then truly find them.
Yeah.
And find them where it really
hurts. Well, not
only
find them, but actually we have to be willing to have this conversation. I mean, they always threaten us. Well, you know, we get 20% of our energy. That's 1 in 5 people in the country having electricity because of nuclear. Well, that's because we don't have one in, you know, every other person could have solar if we allowed solar to be okay. You know what I mean? Like,
sure, or, Or use less power. Like if all of the streetlights on the roads weren't powered with power, but were solar powered, then we would even use less electricity. We don't need to use as much electricity from nuke and coal.
That's right. If we just did that one thing, think of what that would do across the nation. If we just got solar powered streetlights.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Just that one event, solar powered streetlights, how much the city could save, every city across America.
Well, you see it in Oregon, Lonnie. Oregon is doing solar lights on the freeway, like all of your street signs that tell you what the exit is and what you're coming up to. Most of those are solar powered. You'll see little solar boxes housed right next to the
sign. I did not know that. I didn't know that. Yeah. That's awesome. Okay, so look, I want to review this. So what you want to say is the March for Science this Saturday, it's at noon at most places that I know of. What do you think? Any earlier hour, you know, of noon?
Make some signs, get creative.
Most of the time it's down at City Hall, and every place I've looked, it's going to be at City Hall or some other known landmark where protests are done. And look it up. You can just Google it. It'll tell you where it's going to be near you. And if you don't see one near you, go do it.
There's
you know, and make up
costumes.
A sign that says, you know, we need oversight. I mean, we need to have these corporations, and not just, I say, I'm not a big heavy finer. I think that fines are, I think what we need is correction of culture. I think we need re-education classes of what's integrity. And look, we're not going to take these standards of you get to bullshit lie us anymore. We got to have the facts. We're in this together. It's too critical for us to play these games. Let's just get on it because you guys are the professionals. Like Arne Gunderson, he is, if he could work within the industry and work to the facts and educate people, wouldn't that just turn the industry around?
Right.
Do you get
and
what I'm saying? Like, that's what we need.
No jobs would get lost, Lonnie. Like, we would make jobs.
Exactly.
That's the other argument. It's like more people would have more employment. Way more if it was just honest. If we could just be honest about what we really need, you know? But I at the Women's March, I did take an umbrella, and I painted the top of the umbrella. And my daughters did the same thing. And I'll tell you what, that was the best sign we could have made. Because it was pouring rain here.
It was pouring rain here. I should have done that myself. I just got soaking wet like a rat. I forgot a hat like a true Californian.
Yeah, but we're this for the March for Science. So, okay. We're wearing onesies. We're going to be dinosaurs. So I definitely encourage people to have fun and be creative because there's no reason we have to be miserable while we're protesting. It's not
happiness
a miserable
is resistance, man, and we're happy to resist. And then we have the Meet the Fleet. That's coming up May 1st. And then the NRC thing on May 2nd. So that's a call-in.
The NRC is call-in. May 2nd. Yep, that's the call-in. And then the Meet the Fleet is June 7th through the 9th.
And that's in Seattle, right?
That's going to be in Portland. June
Portland.
7th. It's in Seattle in August, and I'll get those dates the next time we talk. But okay. June 7th through 9th is in Portland. It's the official Meet the Fleet. And again, there are many, many anti-war organizations going to be there. And we invite everyone and all to bring their kayaks. And if you don't have a kayak, just show up because either someone will lend you a kayak or we can use you on the sides of the rivers because people will sit on the side of the river with signs as well. And that protest, I'll have to admit, is a little more confrontational because you're going to be meeting a lot of pro-war people. But I think it's probably one of the most important actions that we have coming up because of this war enthusiasm that we're seeing lately.
Yeah, the edification of what we need to take action, yeah. Look, thank you, Heidi, for coming with us. We have about 20 seconds. I really want to thank you for sharing your time and your ideas with our show. I encourage all of my listeners to take action, put your courage feet on, just lean into it. Democracy only works if you do. And I, for one, want our democracy. See you guys tomorrow.
1080 Radio.